The Rococo. It is easy to look at the Rococo era as nothing more than silly, insipid, rich people celebrating their wealth in the most opulent ways. Which in some part it really was. However, there was also more going on with the Rococo than just, "Wee, we're rich and lascivious." But not by much. It is difficult to really understand the reality of the Rococo era just by looking at pictures of its art. The Rococo was a full sensory experience, from how the fabric you were wearing felt and the sound it made when you moved, to the food that you ate, the company you kept, the topics you talked about, the people you flirted with, the music that was played either by you or by someone else, and the way the rooms were decorated while you talked and played. This was an expensive, time-consuming, experiential aesthetic lifestyle. And it was a lifestyle and aesthetic for the rich, as most aesthetic-based lifestyles are. The Rococo, R-O-C-O-C-O, also spelled R-O-C-C-O-C-O, period, could not have come about were it not for the earlier years of the 1700s. The absolute power of the King of France had kept the aristocracy trapped at the Palace of Versailles, under his watchful eye, and away from their city homes in Paris. After his death, the aristocracy flooded back to Paris. Happy to be free of the palace, feeling resentful for the amount of control exercised over their lives, and moving back into apartments in serious need of redecorating and updating due to their long absence. With all the money and time that they could desire at their disposal, they indulged in creating the most comfortable, exciting, and luscious surroundings possible. In the early years of the 1700s, at the end of the reign of King Louis XIV, who died in 1715, there was a shift away from the classicism and grand manner based on the art of Nicolas Poussin, that had governed the art of the preceding 50 years in France, and it moved towards a new style that would become known as the Rococo. The Palace of Versailles, a royal chateau that was the central of political power, was abandoned by the aristocracy, who once again took up residence in Paris. A shift away from the monarchy towards the aristocracy characterized the art of this period. The aristocracy had enormous political power as well as enormous wealth. Many chose leisure as a pursuit, and became involved themselves in romantic intrigues. Indeed, they created a culture of luxury and excess that formed a stark contrast to the lives of most people in France. The aristocracy, only a small percentage of the population of France, owned over 90% of its wealth. This disparity in wealth further fueled growing national dissent, and will set the stage for later art movements. Fragonard's The Swing and Sexual Mores. Rococo paintings do not often have deep meaning or high moral reasoning. In Fragonard's The Swing, the scene is focused on a young woman in a beautiful dress floating through the air on a swing being pulled by her elderly husband in the darker right-hand corner. In the lower left-hand corner, a young man is partially concealed in the bushes, catching a peek under the woman's skirt as she flies over his head. In Rococo images, narrative was often embedded through the use of settings, props, and attention to where the people portrayed were focused. The Rococo relied on some of the same theatrical elements that the earlier Baroque art had used. In The Swing, there are two small cupids leaning on a stale next to the elderly husband in the background. They can be seen to be a representation of the slow, unexciting commitment of a sedate marriage between the young woman and the older man. This, along with the dog that barks a warning from below, can be seen as a reminder of fidelity and loyalty. The woman is looking at the young man in the bushes below her, indicating that she is aware of his presence and is spreading her legs to afford him a better view. Following the sweeping diagonal of her dress and a foot a shoe can be seen flying off of, compositionally, this leads the painting viewer's eye to the solitary cupid in the upper left-hand corner who is whispering a shh to the young man and woman. The solitary and secret-keeping cupid can be seen to represent the secret love and infidelity of the woman and the young man. The story in Fragonard's The Swing is one of flirtation, concupiscence, and infidelity. But in this painting there is no judgment or call to resistance. Marital infidelities was a common cultural occurrence among French nobility at this time. As early as the 1500s, the King of France had a mistress as part of his court. The title given to the woman in this position was maîtresse en titre. And the semi-official position came with power and apartments at the palace, whereas a petite maîtresse was an unacknowledged, completely unofficial mistress to the king. Therefore, it's not strange that by the 1700s it was expected that every married man of means would keep at least one mistress. The keeping of mistresses was merely part of the way of life for the upper class in France at this time, and all the wealthy men had them and all the women knew about them. Paintings like The Swing that celebrated, normalized, and made light of the moral decadence of the ruling classes added fuel to the fire of the Enlightenment. Those that called for social and moral reforms used examples of art like this to call society to a searching for their moral fiber and to value heroism and duty over self-indulgence and avarice.